Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, I'm glad I got you. I don't know what I would do. You're my rock, my friend too. Holding my hand, I'm gonna stand, Something done happened in my heart. I'm not foolish, now I'm smart. Praising each day right from the start. I'm gonna win. You took my sin. Thinking Sam made me so sad. It wasn't cool to be so bad. Fighting and crying was what I had. Now I'm free, got the victory. Satan, well, he comes around, invites me where I once was bound. I tell him just what I found. Lying with glee while he has to flee. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding his way is in his will. Living for Jesus, can't stay still. Finding the way is in his will. Clap my hands and leap for joy. Clap my hands, leap for joy. Clap my hands and leap for joy. So living for Jesus, I can't stand still. No, living for Jesus, I can't stand still. Finding his way is in his will.
Clap your hands.
Running the show tonight, and we are here on November Election Day Blog Talk Radio Show, although I am so glad to say that we're not talking anything about the election, and we're not talking anything about politics. But for those of you that this is very important and you've been tuned into everything that you can hear and say about it, all I can say is I hope that you took advantage of getting your voice heard and voted today. Because that's the only way that your voice can really count for anything, other than we need to remember what the Bible tells us. It lets us know that we are pray for our leaders. It doesn't say pray for the leaders that we like. It says pray for our leaders. And so all of us are told to do that. So there is no exceptions. You can't say, well, I think he's Antichrist or something like that, so I'm not going to pray for him. No, we're supposed to pray for our leaders. Anyway, tonight we are starting chapter 17 of the book, The Woolly Worm. It's written and being read by Sister Bobby Lively, also known as Blog Talk Mom, also known as Rapping Granny, also known as Lyrical Lively. And I'm sure we could add a few other names to that if we stopped and thought about it for a little bit. She's been a teacher, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. She's worked in jail. She's worked in nursing homes. She set up kids clubs, safe places for them. And she just has a heart to do things for God. She has lived music services, and even pastored and started a church with a Christian school. So you have to say that she's had a lot of experience when it comes to spiritual things and all the things you have to deal with when it comes to walking this walk of faith that we all have to walk. So without no further ado, we're going to go ahead and see if we can get her mic turned on here. Blog Talk Mom, are you with us?
I am, and thank you, Wild Bill, for such a beautiful introduction. And I'm concerned, though, is our sister Starla well?
She's just tired.
That's okay. I know that feeling real well. I'm doing something like I've never done before. I get quite understand why, but God's got it, and that's the main thing. One thing, Wild Bill, as you were naming the different names that I have, which represent actually seasons in my life, a minister in the organization has asked me to write a sort of a brief bio for him to put with my license. And so I'd like to start the program. It's just a page or two. May I just go ahead and read it? And it sort of leads into this chapter in the book.
Sure. You got the microphone. You just do with it what you want. And then if you get too rowdy, we'll mute your mic.
Oh, well, I won't get rowdy. I just really appreciate the strength the Lord has given me for the last few days. And he does that. He's a mighty, this sort of almost abusing. Well, it's not amusing. It's very irritating. But I as more or less volunteered to help a situation in a private school. The teacher, there's one in hospital and just different things. And, well, actually, I was volunteered by my pastor pretty much. But so it worked out really well. But when you're in a situation that you know, I'm 82 and I'm not really uneducated, but I don't remember the names of so many of the historians and all of that. And it was so amusing that I don't know. I had to really, really struggle with it. And but the amazing thing is that, like, after so many years, you know, Christopher Columbus, he discovered America. That's it, in a nutshell. But there's so much more to that. And it didn't get the name from Christopher Columbus. And I won't go into my little history lesson there. But we forget things is my point. And we think we know. And it's not life or death if we don't know all the little details. But in our life, our own personal life, we need to prayerfully remember. And it's so important. And I've mentioned even that Brother Copeland suggested we write a notebook and put in there our memories. And, oh, I have been so blessed by reading back over those things that you and when you were young and going to church and singing songs. I mentioned it last week, and I would be so blessed. And then Rhonda Joy, she was just amazing in choir and dramas and all the different things, trust in the Lord. It was beautiful memories, and it strengthens my faith. And then as I read this about our world history, and I could see the hand of God bringing the Bible into America. It was a God thing, and it was done when certain people would cooperate that didn't have just the motive of wanting to hurt people and take over people's land. Although they did say that Christopher Columbus wanted gold. That was his main motive. But it wasn't to be selfish or mean. It was to be prosperous. So we all, I guess, have a little bit of that for sure. But it was interesting how God did move in and brought the word of God that our country can uphold the Lord. We have his word, and that's our responsibility. That is the part that we're in right now, this very moment. It's not about who, when, what, and where. It's about Almighty God. It's about his word. God has a plan, and it's articulately, not even just written, but he speaks to us. He talks to us. And I listened to a beautiful sermon on foot washing and communion tonight. And I cannot express how beautifully I felt the presence of God. A God that created the world would institute a time that he would be so close to his creation. It was needful. We show forth the Lord's death until he comes back. It's such a humble thing. And I just, God is, he's an awesome God. So quickly, I'll read this. This is the bio. It says, my maiden name was Powell. It's Bobby Joyce Lively, maiden name Powell. I was born January 3rd, 1940. My father was Joseph, and my mother was Nina Powell. I was born in the era of the First and the Second World Wars. The atomic bomb was in 1945, and most of my memories are filled with confusion, fear, sickness, dread, and bewilderment. Now, all of those things didn't happen at once. The Great Depression was so horrible. When I was 10, maybe a little younger, my parents moved to Detroit, Michigan, hopefully to escape the horrible poverty level that we lived in. Now, this was a wise move concerning financial investments and employment for my family. My mother was very wise. My father was an extremely diligent, hard worker. But for me, it was truly a nightmare. The experiences I had to face as a child were so horrible. There was, well, tonight I was recalling, I actually drowned. We had to take swimming classes in the school, and I had didn't know how to swim. And we were taking a test, and two of us treading water to pass our test. The girl next to me panicked and grabbed me and held me under. And by the time they got me out, they had to give that machine to get me breathing again. And the memory of that or some connection with that, if I'm around bleach, I lose consciousness now. I don't know if there's been some connection with that. But anyway, while I was in Detroit, I witnessed riots, gangs, like I didn't even believe it could be. There were tragedies. I literally saw, after one horrible riot at a school, one young woman died. The other one became psychologically damaged terribly. So the civil rights upheaval, it caused schools, churches, neighborhoods, and workplaces to have a lot of friction, a lot of anxiety, no trust. And so because I was young and I was from the South, it seemed like I became a target. So my mom and dad had met these people, and they arranged for me to attend a private school in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, I could pay my own tuition. There were jobs there that I could do. I could clean. I could work in the kitchen duty. And I did those things. This school, with all of the other things going on, was truly a blessing for many reasons. The Bible was a major part of the curriculum. And the church services would help me to turn over all of the confusion in my heart and all of the confusion in my mind to the Lord. The following year, I was back in Detroit. I married at 16. I was expecting a child a year later. My husband would be killed in an accident on his job, but my parents helped me move back to Arkansas, and I was living with them before this happened. My son was born. I continued to live with my parents until I remarried. My mom paid for me to receive a cosmetology degree. She helped me attend several business courses. And then I met my husband, and we worked together so we could have a home and have our family. My daughter was born when I was 23. I hope that's correct. The numbers, I can't have a problem with that right now. God led our family to move to Beebe, Arkansas then at one point. And the church we would attend also had a wonderful Christian school connected to the church. I received the glorious truth, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, recorded in the book of Acts, the second chapter, verse 38. I was also a teacher in the school, and my family was greatly, greatly blessed. The children were learning God's word, and they enjoyed the fellowship of a Christian school. And that's what was offered that I couldn't get anywhere else and I had prayed for. My husband's job transferred us then to Nashville, Tennessee. We attended several churches and settled in the UPC church in Nashville called First Church. Reverend Sam Beckton was pastor. I was privileged to work teaching Sunday school classes. I worked in an outreach ministry at the Tennessee Prison for Women, and I also had my own radio program, WNAH and WNQM, that was aired every week for a 30-minute program. One was worldwide. Also, during that time, I received my associate's and bachelor's degree from the Lighthouse College. The name of the program, Walking Through the Land of Promise, was definitely laid on my heart by the Lord, and it was going to keep me for the next many years through times I did not understand, but God would always give me a promise. What I had to do was walk. Walk in the promised land. Several times I was privileged to go to the Nunavut Territory for missionary work with Reverend Linda Kaiser. She was licensed with UPC International. She has passed away now. Here's Reverend Max Smith and his wonderful wife, Peggy Smith. They are gifted in music, ministry, and evangelism, outreach, one of the most anointed couples I've ever been privileged to know. So when I first came to JNT, Jesus Name Tabernacle, my pastor was Pastor Jean Holland, who has also passed away. And she encouraged everything in my life that at that point was, we go through seasons, and I was discouraged. But she looked past all of that. She didn't dwell on that, didn't focus on that. What she saw was what God wanted to do with my life, and that's what she encouraged. And this, there are the chapter we're going to talk about. It's just one cup of water. Whatever God gives us, and he gives all of us, opportunities and privileges and whatever we need to help one another, to love one another. If we go through any kind of feeling, and I do, and I everyone calls me, they're hurting, there's anxiety, but think about this. The fruit of God's Spirit that dwells within us is love. We don't have to beg for it. We have it. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. This is ours because the Holy Ghost, this is the fruit of the Spirit of God that dwells within us that Jesus told us this is what we had to have. And we do. He died that we could have it. And we do. Reverend Holland helped me also obtain my license with UPC. And I'm privileged so much to be a part of this great, kind organization. Now at 82 years of age, I work in the school, jail ministry, nursing home ministry. Now I have a new job, probably through the first of the year. And I delight in teaching Search for Truth Bible studies when any time the opportunity arises. Some of the reasons that we have, especially the one we have here on Wednesday evening before our regular service, they will allow me to wrap some of the albums, and they hear what I want them to hear seemingly more than anyone else, and they are a great encouragement to me. So God knew that. God brought it to me, and it is every bit his to use in any way that he wants to. There's four albums all on YouTube, and so it would be free if you'd want to share them with children or enjoy them yourself. I wanted to add the addendum of the rap music. After moving to Mississippi, I was invited to Inner City. That's Poindexter Park, and it's an area where they cook and they do all kinds of things, give out clothes and in the wintertime, help in every way, in crime areas, it pick up people and put them in places where they can recover. This was so enjoyable. And in my classes while I was there, I began to use a rap method. Now, I had always used rhyme and rhythm, but I could tell this was different. And amazingly, a few weeks later, I met a young man. His name is Jordan Hewlett, and he had just started, I mean, just had started a studio, his own studio. And he had been a minister in the inner city Jackson area where I was going right then. So we felt that it was God. We joined together fasting and praying. It was so beautiful. We completed 4 albums, and the first was just in a few weeks. YouTube has all 4 of them, as I mentioned, and I pray that you will share them and they can be used. I've been told they've been used in every denomination, so please help me share them. You'll recognize some of them are just scripture set to music. Some have a definite message to those that have been on drugs and that need to make up their mind, and they can do it as they sing along with it. And so I've also completed this book, The Woolly Worm, and I am privileged beyond anything I can say that my son and my wonderful daughter-in-law would help me during this time to share it with y'all. And I want it to be a blessing. It has sure been one to me. We have, they told me they went to the jail last night because I was working in the school. I didn't get to go. And there's, I read this a lot to myself, and then I like to share it to others because God has a positive answer to every doubt and every fear that will ever come against us. When the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, take the time to put on, he said, take it up, the helmet. Salvation. Salvation has given us the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that we'll always feel, but that does not change the fact that we do possess it in faith. So this list, they shared it with it at the jail. They said they had a beautiful, wonderful move of God. But we can say something is impossible. And I was asked, told the Lord, I said, this is impossible. I can't do this. This is so funny. And a gentleman that I had been witnessing with, he looked at me like, I thought you told me all things were possible. It was just really bounced right back. And then because immediately I thought, oh, the scripture says I can do this. And all things are possible if I'll believe. And so things turned around and it's working. And I'm so thankful for that. I do ask any and everyone to please remember me in prayer. There's another time that we say, oh, I'm just too tired. But God says, I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28-30. Do you know he has done that for me? In the last few weeks, one night after the program, I could not go to sleep. So I went through the whole next day without any sleep at all. I was told I looked horrible, but hey, you can't have everything. I probably don't look all that good in time, but I could do it. God gave me rest. And when we don't think we're able, Ephesians 9:8, and say it and believe it. And so now I want to sort of lead into this other, and I want to, it's another, like a bio, it's going to cover several sections of my life. But it's titled, chapter 17, If Just a Cup of Water. There's a scripture, Mark 9:41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now that goes both ways. If we give, or if someone gives to us, God is mindful of that. I'd like to take a moment. Please join me in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this entire book, for every word and for every scripture. I ask that you bless everyone that's listening, and let this be used to draw any and all of us back to where we believe in you, Lord, and we're willing to reach out to any and everybody with whatever light you've given us, whatever you give us, anointing, faith, Lord, that we can pray the prayer of faith for those that we love and those that we meet. And Lord, we can change the world. You change the world through us if we will. So give us that willing heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, if we give a cup of water to someone, we will receive our reward. How much more will God reward us and give us his power to help teach them his word? Because it is my personality and God has definitely just directed me that way, I can do that with people. And it does not offend them. It's like it's conversation. It's the word of God, which it's anointed, and you see the expression change. It can be at the post office. It can be at Kroger's. It can be anywhere. And God will give me the opportunity to speak his word, not in an accusing way, but like a cool drink of water to somebody that's really thirsting, deeper than just a thirst, that longing, needing something to turn that life around, to heal that person, to deliver that person. And it's here all around us right now, and God is looking to us. This verse brings to my memory the godly lady, and this, I'll never forget this, and I can't even express it, how much it means to me. But this lady cared enough. She visited my home, and she brought, it was a little butter dish, you know, the kind you throw away after you eat the butter. It was just a little butter dish, and it had pudding in it, homemade pudding, and then on top of the pudding, it had jelly beans. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but in that case, it was her cup of water for me. Let me tell you the power in what she did. It's been way over 40 years ago, and I still am enjoying and feeling the effect of that thoughtful gesture. I, too, want to be sensitive to the needs of others and sensitive to the voice of God. I've shared this experience with people, and you know what? They have just bust out laughing. They thought I was making a joke. They couldn't connect it to anything good. It wasn't just a good thing. It was a God thing. I'll explain it in the next few pages, but for right now, I was shocked and set back by people's reactions to what I thought was one of the most dynamic experiences in my life. But then I understood. They'd never been where I was. Like when they pulled me out of the water when I was 11 or 12, I was unconscious. If you've never been there, then you'll never really know what it feels like with all that went on for the next probably hour or two. But I was saved. I was brought out. I did not die. The Good Samaritan came to the injured man. He was injured, and he took care of all of his needs and even promised that he would be back and take care of anything else, any bill he had. So I had been injured at that time by the enemy. I'm not saying it was people or whatever happened. It was literal attack like we all go through. Satan is the attacker. He came and he wanted to hurt me. He is a liar. He is a thief. This is what Jesus told us. Do you know what? He'll never defeat God. God knew that if that little lady would come and bring me that one little treat, that he would speak through that. And that's what he wants right now. We are surrounded by hurting people, and we can reach out every day in the most simple ways, but be willing and be prepared by praying and by taking up the armor of God. I was. That makes a difference. Sometimes people go out and they search. They even go to churches. But they're so wounded that they can take almost anything anybody says, and even the minister, and feel like somebody's being mean to them or hurting them. Because, and I use this illustration so many times, if you come and you put your hand on my arm and you maybe pat me and say, I love you, Sister Lively, okay. But if I had just burned myself really badly on that arm, and you didn't know that, of course, and you patted my arm real big, I'd probably fall back and start crying. I might even scream. So this is the way when people come around, they're hurting. They're wounded. They may have been wounded in a church or someone that professes to know the Lord. So this is why we put on the whole armor of God. Go through it in Ephesians 6, and you will realize I do it constantly because I know I need every part of that armor. Okay, there's a song, and I love it, Reverend G.T. Haywood. Part of it goes, when gloom and sadness whisper, you've sinned. No use to pray. I look away to Jesus, and he tells me to say, see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. And oh, I wish I could have just in some way been able to sing the whole song tonight. Because each time I would go back through and read this and read those words, I would begin to sing in the Spirit of God. Oh, we see. We must have eyes to see that crimson stream of blood that washes and cleanses us. There's another song that I've always loved. It's called Follow Me by Ira Stanfield. Oh, no, I didn't. Stanfield, sorry. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. Burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary's road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me, presence of God and fellowship with him. So I highly recommend it. If you don't sing, if it's not, just read the words as a prayer to the Lord. What do you think that this act of kindness represented to me, that when she brought that to my door? What do you think it really meant to me? It was a light that shone into my lonely, damaged soul. It only takes a small candle to light a whole room when it's dark. I was sitting in my kitchen after she left. I can't describe mental illness any plainer than to say that I felt like the ugliest piece of worthless humanity it could be. I sat there for a long, long time. No particular thought would form in my mind. It seemed like I was looking through someone else's eyes. I felt like a fighter who'd been knocked down so many times. I just don't want to get up again. I don't want to fight anymore. Now, I know that this is a gift of hindsight. Really, probably, I'm not sure, but that was exactly where I had to arrive for the rest of the things to transpire. I was suffering at that moment from a deep depression brought on by a negative side effect to a medication my doctor had prescribed. Actually, it could have killed me and was at the point of doing irreparable damage. My neighbor, who was a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady, and she kept telling me, she said, would you please just one time go to my doctor's? And she explained to me certain things, and I thought I couldn't see any connection there. But she was so thoughtful and friendly, and so I said, okay, I will. I'll try it. I was so desperate. I agreed to make the appointment, And after the examination, the doctor explained that even though my medicine was not toxic to everyone, it most certainly was for me. And he said then, at the stage of what it had done, to counteract it would take months of treatment. And that was unbelievably horrible, every stage of it. So I know my family had to go through a lot during those times because I was not stable, balanced in any way. So that was a season. That was a time. It was a horrible time. But that sweet lady bringing me that gift that day stopped me from making one of the greatest mistakes I could have ever made. Who could we go to? Even when we go to the jails and to witness and to work with those wonderful ladies, it is amazing. They will begin to sing, and it's amazing what God does. I was told that one lady that's had a wonderful experience with God went up to had a prayer chain, and they were praying, and one of the ladies was so, I won't even tell you the horrible thing that she was in there for. We never asked, but we were told. And so one of the other ladies that was in there came up beside her, and she began to sing, "Break Those Chains." He can break those chains. And everyone else joined in, and the lady was mightily delivered and healed. So wherever we are, we have God, and he is the one that does it. So my health began to improve. My desire to go to church was much stronger than ever before. Appreciated what the Lord was doing in my life, and I admired those that shared their time to help me get reestablished in my life. When I was approached then by the same lady about baptism in Jesus' name, rather than using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I couldn't see the difference. I thought, you know, maybe God's going to use me to keep her from going the wrong direction. Because I read the scriptures on both sides. I just couldn't see the difference. And so anyway, I was reading scriptures that she gave me, and I compared one with the other one and then the other one. And still, I thought, no, I've been baptized. I went to church with mom and dad when I was younger. I don't need to be rebaptized. That was my conclusion of the matter. But after several months passed, attend church with this sweet lady, but I did not like the service at all. I just didn't. So I decided that was God letting me know that I wasn't to go that direction. And I went backwards. I did try many, many denominations. And there was a church about a block away from where we lived. And it was a Baptist church, and it was over the top good. The children loved it. They had great children's church, all types of wonderful activities. And the pastor preached a beautiful, every message was about the love of God. And it just built my confidence up. It was a beautiful time. And then he come and visited our home. And when he found out I had Pentecostal background, he did not slow down. He did not approve. That was error. I mean, he wasn't being mean. He thought he was being just very honest, Pentecostal church. But he did it in a teaching way. He was trying to save me from going in error. But even my husband said, that's not compatible. And he wasn't going to either church. But he said, you can't do that, because he knew that much about it. He could see that it just was not compatible. There's a scripture, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, Colossians 3:17. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. I just didn't know who to turn to or what to do. I was sincere, though. I really was seeking the Lord and beginning to consecrate my life and live the convictions and delivered from cigarettes and all of those types of things and recuperating from the illness. It was just a beautiful time. But I didn't know what to do. In a positive way, I didn't know what to do. I knew I loved Jesus, and I knew he loved me, and I was going forward. Or about that time, two young men that were ministers knocked on my door. They told me later they had been fasting 3 days without even water, and it was a hot, hot, hot week there in Arkansas. So that sort of impressed me. They came in, and they were very helpful around the house. They said they would do things if I would go ahead and let them teach me a Bible lesson. Well, that was good. So I did, and I enjoyed it. It was very, very good. And as I went through it, I didn't feel any particular kind of reservation about it or anything. But then they brought in another gentleman, and he began to come against the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Well, that didn't click with me at all. So I was closing it down, and they asked me if I would go through a particular, I guess, ritual. I would fast, lay aside certain treats, and pray, and let them pray. And I thought, well, okay. You know, everything's friendly. It's the Bible. So I did. But I've got to tell you, when I did, all that I had learned in that little school that 1 year, that scriptures that they put in my heart, they were a shield and a buckler to me. I knew. I told them that. I backed out of it. And then immediately God began to show me all types of error that would have gone into the next stage. One of them is that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Really? How stupid can that be? And then they said that we're all angels and we chose to come because we messed up. We're living our life here and we're regaining back our place with God. And we're all gods and we will all have our own worlds. Now that gets farther into it. But if you can in any way make that harmonize with the Word of God, then you've got a strong imagination because it is not true. So I'm so thankful that God was there in that and one other group that came. Thanking God, it was so humorous. I was reading through the Word of God, and when I got to the end of it, I thought, oh, I've read it all. I didn't have any idea that I hadn't even started to scratch the surface on the Word of supernatural Word of God that gets deeper and deeper and wider. Oh, it's wonderful. And so the lady came back into my life and she gave me a Bible study again about baptism in Jesus' name. And I thought, I don't know about this. And I prayed and I sought the Lord. I loved her very, very much. And so I agreed to go to get baptized in Jesus' name. And this was my prayer. Lord, I love you. I love your word. I love you. And I don't want to hurt her feelings or their feelings. So I'm going to do this and just stay with me, Lord, and just help me that I don't offend anyone. And after all, I did read it, baptized in Jesus' name. That was your word there to get baptized. It was in a church they wasn't the one she attended. It was another church and closer to the area I lived in. And all I can say, when they said, Miss Lively, according to your faith in the Lord, that he died for your sins and for his love for you and all the beautiful words they said that I don't think I'd ever heard that many parts of the love of God said over me. I now baptize you in the name Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. When I came up out of that water, I cannot ever describe to you the beauty of the element that I went into, body, soul, and spirit. washed, cleansed. I didn't even know I'd carried such a load of frustration and illness that I didn't know. I didn't recognize what it was, but it was gone completely. The next day when I began my Bible study, it came so alive, I didn't want to put the Bible down. Miracles started happening all around me. One day, I just fell out on the floor praying, and I was speaking in tongues, and I was just in a realm of the Spirit. In a few minutes, my husband, Jim, came in the back door and came in. He was just shaking, pale, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I just opened the door to get the feed in the barn for the horses, and there was either a copperhead or a rattlesnake that was coiled just a few inches from my face, and it did not move." Now, we know that when the Holy Ghost was moving on me to pray, he was stopping that from coming to pass. And other things like that began to happen. It was so wonderful. And I visited churches. We had church in the house. The children cooperated with that. We had church. And then we actually tried to start a church in that area. And there was a lady that had the land and the building, but that didn't seem to be the will of the Lord. So it was about that time that God began to open doors for us to move from the farm to the beautiful church in Beebe, Arkansas, that had the school. That was such a blessing. I prayed that the children would have that kind of fellowship, but I didn't have any idea how God was going to be able to work it out so beautifully as we went to Beebe. I learned every day. I was teaching in the school, and those children taught me wonderful. So I returned, when I would return to church, I knew that I had come from another denomination. By being baptized in Jesus' name, that put me in the apostolic Jesus' name only churches. And there was a consecration that I had never quite ever witnessed before. And it was done with such a grand common sense attitude. It was not cultish in any way. It was wonderful. And it led to me getting a wonderful education and being able to share it everywhere. From the time we lived there till we went into, we were, as I mentioned in the bio, we moved to Tennessee, to Nashville. And when that was such an experience, because it was a huge church, and Brother C.M. Becton could not have been a better pastor. He was just wonderful, loving, anointed, and the teachers were wonderful. So then when he placed me in a class, it was a large class. I think it was primaries and maybe a few teenagers, but it was a large class. And we would have the most wonderful moves of God. And so he encouraged me, encouraged the family. And Jim, even though he didn't go to church regularly, he supported every ministry. That's my husband. Every ministry I had, he supported it. And he was all for winning the lost and working in the kingdom. So, Wild Bill, are you anywhere around?
I'm somewhere between lost and found.
I wanted you to talk just for a minute where I can close the door, because I can hear my dog barking. I don't know if you can.
He might be trying to keep a prowler from coming in. Or you're probably getting all excited. You're sitting here talking about all these things that's happened before in your life, too. So you might be feeling what's going on in this blog talk show. It's always amazing to me, T. Do I?
Huh? He wants to come to his mom. That's what it is.
Oh, that's what it is. I'm always amazed hearing these things, because I was partially a part of it. But yet, you know, it just is still, we all have our different viewpoints on different parts of it. Of course, I was a senior in high school when y'all moved, and I stayed in Arkansas. And I lived with someone from the church for a while. Then I moved in with Brother Shield till I graduated school. So he was nice enough to let me have their guest room in their home. And so, you know, a lot of the first part, it was there when you first came to Nashville, I sort of missed out on. It was, I had been abandoned, folks. You heard it here first. Sister Lively abandoned her son and left him in Arkansas. Okay, I've totally got you distracted now, so.
But that was wonderful.
You can go ahead and.
To be the first. You were the first graduate. That was wonderful.
That was true. Can't be
That's
one
right.
first.
And it was, I think it was definitely looking back again, the gift of hindsight. There was quite a bit of confusion the first couple of churches that we attended, and I was probably the reason for it. And so I'm not blaming or, you know, anything like that. But I'm very thankful at your age that you were not a part of that, and that it worked out really well, as God always does. Those types of things for us. Now, I can go back to the book, and unless you want to talk about anything that's on your heart, I'm back over here now.
No, just go ahead and keep on with the book.
Okay. Being able to rightly divide truth from error and flesh from spirit and emotion from reality takes time and effort. Now, that was a mouth. I'm going to read it again. To be able to divide truth from error, now I'm talking about that group that came into my home. I'm talking about people that call me all the time that are loving, wonderful people that cannot figure out their feeling is not, it's tricking them. It's leading them down a path that they don't understand. They don't really want to go there. But yet the feeling is there. So being able, here I go, to rightly divide truth from error and flesh from spirit and emotion from reality, it takes time and effort. The Bible says that we learn line upon line, precept upon precept. That's in Isaiah 28:10. I'll read the scripture. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. It's one of the most encouraging scriptures that we could ever read. Because we are born again. Of course we are. Our sins are all washed away. We are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. But it's precept upon precept, line upon line. It's knowing that we, it says when Jesus taught about the parable of the wise man, and the foolish man, he illustrates that when sorrow reigns around us and winds of adversity come against us, what matters? The foundation. It's the foundation that determines if it's going to stand or fall. Ephesians 2:20, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So if someone were to read the book, someone were to attend a church or hear the truth about baptism in Jesus' name, they're going to immediately face all types of obstacles in their own mind. Well, I know so-and-so, and they didn't, and whatever. And well, you know, all these questions, don't look that way. Don't look at the storm. Look at the Word of God. Look at the foundation. If God said it, and every time in the book of Acts, when you read about Cornelius, how God worked a miraculous vision to bring Simon Peter there, they received the Holy Ghost. What does hinder us from being baptized in Jesus' name? The man in the jail, the whole family baptized in Jesus' name. It's just very, very plain. So, I can't answer for everybody else, but I will answer for myself. And so the choice is, are we going to go according to feeling or true biblical reality? And it's very, very serious. It's so serious that it's probably the biggest way that Satan can cause us, like in the Garden of Eden, where he got Eve, to just change it. God didn't really say that. Well, he did really say, there's none other name. And I'm working with the children in multiplication, and when I was working on one of the charts, I remember it was in college, I think, or wherever, and when I was looking at 1 + 1 + 1, well, that's 3. I thought, what? 1 + 1 + 1. And then I looked at the other side. It was 1 × 1 × 1 is 1. We can't probably ever comprehend the whole thing in our earthly mind. I don't understand eternity at all. But at the same time, we do understand the Word of God, the commandments of God, and the plan and the purpose of God when we read it. So when we moved, when we were at the farm, God was teaching us, this is before we moved to BB, teaching all of us some wonderful relationship things as a family, to pray together, to work together, to be close. I think there's just something dynamically wonderful about growing things and being close to nature and animals. It's just miraculous what it can do. And I don't know why it was such a brief time, but I do know that we needed to go for the school and for the children and for me. So, but while I was there, I learned to sew, and my husband, Jim, was one of the biggest workers you've ever seen to build fences and to keep everything just beautiful. And we really enjoyed it. We would build these things. And then different things would come up and God would heal. Like I mentioned a while ago about, he knew that that was a miracle about that snake. That was really something. So in Colossians 2:9, the fullness of the Godhead is displayed in Jesus Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's pretty plain, isn't it? But you don't want to take that and try to weigh it against another scripture. This is where what I run into when I share. They want to know why we baptize in Jesus' name, or what is our plan of salvation according to the Word of God. And then people want to take another scripture and pull it against that one. That is a trick of the enemy. Just like I said, that's exactly what he did in the garden. That's exactly what he did when Jesus had fasted 40 days and was coming out of that wilderness. Satan quoted scripture, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we are going to keep our eyes focused on the Word of God and stand on the rock. And no matter what comes against us, we will stand. And we want to be mindful of those that need us to come to them to sow the seed of the Word of God in them. I love doing that. I just love the Bible. I have about 4 different chapters that I like to, before I go to sleep, sometimes when I first wake up, because it talks about how I'm going to walk, stand, think, every part of me to be. And I like to pray. I join with Jabez through the ages. Lord, I do not want to ever cause shame or pain. Enlarge my territory, Lord, in you, that I can bring glory to your name. That just takes probably 30 seconds, but you'll always feel it. And the 23rd Psalm, I couldn't say that to ever and like it was too old. I want him to be my shepherd because I know that I'm certainly not a very smart sheep. They say none of them are. But anyway, I like the visual of just him being with me wherever I am, my shepherd. And so he quoted, and then gave them 6 verses. That is priceless as you take each step of that. And then the first chapter of Psalms, another six verses. And if you get in the habit of doing that, it's not really a ritual. It's conversation. It's like if you were to meet someone, let's say you get ready to go to work and you stop by McDonald's, but you don't order. You sit in your car. Maybe you pull up to the window, but you still don't order. You sit there. They don't know what you want. You're not sure what you want. There's six people behind you with all kinds of needs to get through. If we don't talk to God, if we don't speak, praise, worship, ask, seek, knock, if we don't do that, then we're failing. And then there's those lined up all the way around us. We're not going to have anything to eat, and we're not going to have anything for them either. That's just common sense for us to know that if just one cup, that's all, just one moment in his presence, just one little bit of salt, just think about it in the light. And remember the ten virgins, five were wise. They kept their oil full. And what is the oil? That's the refilling of God's Spirit. The others, they let it run out. Oh, but they tried to borrow some real quick. No, that doesn't work either. And then they told the Lord, well, we've done all kinds of things for you. He said, I never knew you. The intimacy of conversation with God cannot be overspoken about. It is so essential. And he delights in the singing to him. It doesn't matter whether you sound pretty. That's not the point. But sing to him. When I get to these little courses and as I go through the book, many times the Spirit of God just immediately takes me into the presence of God, and I'll sing that to him. And we were talking about the water and drinking something and being, if they're cold, giving them something so that they're comfortable. In Psalms 34 and 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Just think about that. He's good. God is good. God is good all the time. I knew I was going to have to sing just a little bit. Sorry about that. I want to read this too. I think I have time. It's called One Solitary Life. Here's a young man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. His only credentials came from God. While he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to the cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone. And today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed and all the parliaments that ever sat and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of a man upon this earth as that one solitary life. I've always thought that was so beautiful. His resurrection in itself proves, without a doubt, he is that one God. He is God. He is the winner. He never loses a battle. He is great and greatly to be praised. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. I'll read this scripture. Now I'll turn it over to Wild Bill. For there will arise false Christs, false prophets, and they'll even show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would be able to deceive the very elect. Matthew 24:24. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Mark 16:17. We know that God is God. And every man, every woman that ever lived and will ever live, if they turn to him and obey his word, they will live with him forever and ever. The greatest gift that God could give, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a scripture, or actually a writing, and I will go ahead and read this. Robert Louis Stevenson said, the best things in life are nearest to us. Our nostrils, light in our eyes, flowers at your feet, duties at your hand, the path of right just before you. Then do not grasp at the stars, but do life's plain, common work as it comes. Certain that daily duties and daily bread are the sweetest things in life. That is tying back to the title of this lesson, If Just One Cup of Water. Don't strain and stress over what you can't do, but know for sure that God promised, if we will, he will definitely be there to touch lives. We must plant, and some must water, and God will give the increase. So I've enjoyed this, and I pray that others have, and while Bill, come on and add the wonderful things you always do.
Well, I don't know about wonderful things, but I just have thoroughly enjoyed everything you've had to say tonight. And I was thinking about how people try to use scriptures to make a point against other scriptures. And I'm always amazed that when people do this, that they show just how ignorant they are to any understanding of scripture. Because they'll take, like, scriptures having to do with message and tongues and interpretation and try to apply that to tongues with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and it's not the same thing. And it goes to show that they've picked through there to find what they can find to just go against it. The same thing with works. People want to take works and, oh, you're saying saved by works. No, nothing that we could ever do could earn our salvation, but obedience is required to do the things of God. Disobedience of God is still sin. And so you got to understand that this is either sinning or not sinning. Automatically, I went back to something funny we used to say in Christian school against those things. You know, we say, well, people say, well, you're not supposed to fly in airplanes. That's not what the Bible says, because it says, lo, God will be with us always. Or, you know, he says these women shouldn't wear their hairdos up very high because it says, top not come down. And that last one, I was in there like, is that really in the Bible? You know, I don't think so. But then I look, Matthew 24:17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And I thought, okay, top not come down. So, you know, it's the same sort of rhetoric that people do where they try to take something and apply it in a way that it was never meant to be applied. For the other listeners on here, if you got a comment or a question you'd like to ask Sister Lava, we still got time. Just push the number 1 on your phone. I see we got another Mississippi caller on here. Are they brave? Are they courageous? Are they going to push 1 on their phone? Are they going to sit there with that look on their face like, oh, Lord, is he talking about me? Nope, you're not going to push? I guess not. not going to put them on the spot if they don't want to say anything. But it is always, you know, in some ways it's troubling. And I went through some of those things of the people what I would consider good Christian people. And then all of a sudden you look at what they practice as far as plan of salvation, and it doesn't measure up to the Word of God. And so I'm sitting there like, are you trying to tell me that, you know, Aunt Lulu went to hell? You know, she was a good woman. She was faithful to go to church. You know, she was, you know, the cream of the crop. And you're going to try to tell me that my Aunt Lula didn't go to heaven? And then, you know, but really, it's not our place to judge. When you get to understanding God's mercy endures forever, only God knows the heart. Only He knows what may transpire, you know, towards the things that are there at the end. But there, the other side of this coin is that it should be very urgent to you to go to everyone that you know and say, listen, look here. This is specific what it says right here. Peter said these words, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's not something somebody made up. That's not something that we've added to. That's not something we've taken away. See, the other churches, they say, in obedience to the Word of God, we baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And I challenge you, those words are not in your Bible anywhere, nowhere. You can't find it in there. It doesn't say that if you're baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, it mentions Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But if you stop and think about it, what was going on at the time that those words were said? There were so many transitions that were coming into place to where we were still under law, and we were fixing to go from law to the grace of God, to where He was going to pay the price for our sins. He was, we had a debt of, the wages of sin is death, and that was our debt that we owed. Nobody else owed that, we did. And He's like, hey, it's kind of like that little thing I do where the poor woman, she gets a knock at her door, and the man's in her, you must pay the rent. And she's like, but I can't pay the rent. But you must pay the rent. And all of a sudden, this person comes up with a little bow tie and says, I'll pay the rent. And she's like, my hero. And so it's sort of that way with God. He's like, you couldn't pay the rent. The rent had to be paid, and I paid it for you. I purchased you with a price. But He didn't purchase us like slave labor or anything like that. It's a love relationship. And it's one of those things that even now I go through times to where feelings are like, Lord, I don't understand why I had to go through this with the accident. Lord, I don't understand why all of a sudden something just comes out and my eyes are open to look at things and see it totally different than what I've ever seen it before as to how things are in my life. You know, how can this be? What is it that I'm missing? What is it, you know, that's going on here that I've just totally missed? How could you let these things happen? You know, you say you love me, but Lord, you know, my best car I ever had got totaled. I ended up with, you know, something, a piece of junk for twice as much money to buy it because of the way things are right now. You know, and I'm still not, you know, fixed. They have wanted to do surgery on my wrist. And you just, the list can go on. And you can just so lock into feelings about all those things that are happening. But see, through time, you get to realizing, okay, God didn't do those things to be mean to us. Because He said all things work together for the good for those that are called according to His purpose. So if we just lean in faith to that, okay, what's the purpose? How many times has He had to put me on that potter's wheel and kind of taken some imperfections out? Or maybe He had to polish, put me back in the heat just a little bit to purify me, to make me shiny, that pure silver. Or maybe He had to go in and maybe had to apply some heat and take a hammer and do some forging on me to make me stronger to be able to go through the next thing that's coming down the road. Because it does, it rains on the just and the unjust. Life happens to all of us. People die, people get sick, all these things happen. And if you got this concept of, well, like something I was working on today, you're either thankful for the things of God or you're unthankful. You can be thankful for, if you just take the things that you know that God has done for you and you do this thing called counting your blessings and going back, and then you get to realize, and this is just the things that I know that He's done, and then you look at His word and you see His promises. And you're like, okay, He's done this, so I know that this is who He is. He promised me a gift of the Holy Ghost, and He gave me that. He promised that, you know, that there's not going to be something come against me. He's not going to put more on me than what I can bear, so I can lean on that. He let me know He paid the price for my debt, so I can lean on that. And then it goes into this thing like, hey, I got to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also. And if it was not true, I would have told you. And you could just like, I could lean on that. If it wasn't true, he would have told me. And then you can apply that to all of his word and all of his promises. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. This is the Almighty God, somebody that owes me anything. Forget whatever works that I could do. Forget whatever sacrifices I can make. When you get to think about why praise God, why not? Look at all the great and marvelous things that he's done. Look at who he is. And look at what he wants to do for your life. Why not praise God? Because he is worthy of all praise, all honor, all glory is to him. So, sorry, Blog Talk, I'm all going to get a little excited there. But, and anybody
we'll
else?
Keep going.
Run out of time. Push the number one on your phone, and we will put you on the air. I can almost see them staring at your phone like, I don't know. Did I wake up anything and you just say?
That's that the real purpose for this program is to be a testimony and a witness to the act that it must be said. People must look into it for themselves because there's so many beautiful scriptures. When they asked Peter what to do, they wanted to know, well, what do we do? And he said, the one with the keys. He has the keys to the, Jesus is the door, for sure. And he said, repent, which we said this so many times. We don't know who's listening right now. But God's word, Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto not just you, but to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now that is as plain as can be. If we just obey that, obedience, then that's all God would require. That's all he's saying. It's like you said, Wabil, they say we're trying to make it into work. Well, think about this. Jesus said it was expedient that he go away. You know, we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. What's the power for? It's to live for God, an overcoming life, to take his word and to live for God and to share it and to be. You know, he's the Lord of the harvest, and the harvest is ripe right now. If we pray, we can know without a doubt God will lead people into our lives every day, every moment that we can share our experience, but not just that, the word of God, and it cannot return void. I love this, and I really believe that it was the center of God's will for us to focus on this. So thank you. Well, Bill, I really deeply appreciate what you were saying.
Well, thank you. I love coming in behind you with all the things that you do. And as I said before, you've been an awesome example of, you know, for us to try to follow, which we do, or I do very badly. I can't speak for Charlotte. She does better than me. But it's just that sometimes you have to understand it's a personal thing. And that's that. You know, thing they look at us and like, well, what's all this holiness stuff? Well, all this, you don't go here and you can't go there. And why do you have to dress this way and everything? It's not I can't go. It's not that I don't get to and I have to do this. It's a love thing. It's that deal where you're like, okay, you know, if a woman loves a man and he don't want her wearing certain things a certain way, then all of a sudden she changes the way she dresses. You know, if a woman wants a man dressed in different ways, I have learned at my house to just not even go to the closet to grab a shirt because after two or three times, like, you're not going to wear that, are you? Which tells me that I'm not going to wear that. Then I just let her go ahead and get it, and we save ourselves that time of trying to figure out what it is I'm supposed to wear and what I cannot wear when we're going out. So, but it's that thing of it's wanting to please. It's the difference between there's certain things that, you have to do because we're commanded to do, and there's a reason for it. We got to have remission of sin because no sin's going to enter into heaven. So if baptism in Jesus' name is where you get the remission of sin, oh, man, people just dropped their teeth there. He didn't just say that. Well, that's what the Bible said. He said that's for remission of sin. You repent of your sins, and then you have the remission of the sin when you're baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't make that up. That's just the way it works. But it really fits with the whole tabernacle plan. And the last thing that Jesus said in Luke 24 was, go to Jerusalem, stay there till you're endued with power, and then you, when you're there, you're going to be preaching about what? Repentance and remission of sin. Not repentance is remission of sin. You're going to be preaching about repentance and remission of sin. So what they do, they went to Jerusalem. They were endued with power. They got the Holy Ghost. There was a big commotion. 3,000 people were added to the church. Talk about a baptismal service. Wow. And they're going out there. And, you know, and here the message is, he told them that they had to repent of their sins and had to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. That's what the Bible says. Every place that you can find in your Bible where someone was baptized in the New Testament church, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. I challenge you to look in your Bible. You're not going to find where they used any other words, any place in there when people were baptized. Nowhere. The Bible tells us that everything you do in word and in deed, you do it in the name of Jesus. And so everything is so jointly fit together when you look at the scripture. When you look at the Old Testament tabernacle plan, the way the furniture was laid out, all the different things that they had to go through there, you had to go to that silver, the brazen laver. I almost got it wrong, brazen laver, to go up there and wash that blood from you after you had just the sacrifice that was done. It was just, it's part of what it is. There's a type and shadow in the Old Testament to everything that's in the New Testament. And I love that. But God will take the simple things to confound the wise, and he lets us know, he gives us a warning that if we want to keep following after things that are not true just because we want to prove our own self to be right, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but what it lets us know is that he will send you strong delusion, and he will allow you to believe a lie and be damned. That's serious talk. God will send you strong, don't play with this truth. If you hear it, and it sparks, it pricks your heart, and you're feeling like this is something you need to do, but then you start hearing other people put voices in your head. You say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go to this here. I see what these people dress like. I see where they don't go that I want to do. They don't do the social things that I want to do, so I'm not going to be a part of this. Whatever reason it tries to go against the things of God, when he's put that in your heart to where all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, it's kind of like it's pricking my heart. I'm wanting to weep, and I'm wanting to pray, and I'm wanting to reach out to God, and I feel like I'm going four or five directions at once. You better respond to that because God will send you strong delusion. But the first time I read that, I was blown away. It didn't say that he was going to allow the devil to send you strong delusion. God said that he will send you strong delusion and allow you to believe a lie. He don't want people pity. I can't even talk anymore. I'm getting all this here. But ask God to do it or go. It's one of those things. He's serious. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't take this lightly, the gift that's been given to you for salvation. So, I'm sorry, Blanc, Mom. I took his plumb over the hill and around the woods there. But did that shock you the first time you read that?
Well, I sort of connect that with Job. You know, we're going to – opposition and sorrow are a definite part of our life. It's used to make us go forward. We see illustrations like with Job. If we are not going to do the right thing and we play with what is eternal, what a price he paid, then he won't be there for us. And that's why Satan is always waiting so he can come and do whatever he wants to do. But we really rejoice, you know, because he said if we're not going to do the right thing, that's when delusion will come to us. Because it's very serious, and he's wanting us to, by those kind of words, realize this isn't anything, you know, it's eternal, absolutely eternal, forever. Hell is a burning, horrible, we can't even fathom how horrible hell is. It is real. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. And he did not want us to go there. He couldn't have done any more. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And then he offers us heaven. And then we've got the historical record, and we've got the Bible. So there's really no excuse. Delusion is on its way if we continue. If I go out without an umbrella and it's raining, I'm going to get wet. No, God may have caused it to rain. Probably did. But I went out without the umbrella. You know, I still think it's our choice that brings on the delusion. Because God is God. You know, Satan is, he's not even worth hardly mentioning. But what really does stand out to me, though, Wild Bill, is these churches that don't teach, that is so obvious, they're so faithful to witness. You know, they're out knocking on doors. And I want there to be, I feel like there's going to be a revival breakout right now in the church, and people are going to begin to plan to reach out and touch lives. Our Acts class, it's called Recovery class, and it has really reached out to so many people. And church could do that very easily. It has to be set up properly, legally. But before an hour before your regular church time, if you're listening, just, you know, some people, sometimes we just have pizza, but a lot of times we have home cooking, and we have testimonies of people that have come to jails, prisons, and every time we have a service called the Clean Slate Service once a year, 19 or more people get baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. This is real. I mean, God is moving, so don't miss. And set your face like Flint, and remember, just a cup of water. Just be prepared. And so thank you, Wild. I enjoyed this very much.
Thank you, Blog Talk Mom, and thank you for the listeners that were sitting there and you had opportunity. I asked you two or three times if you wanted to push number one and come up here, and I'm looking. I don't see no little hands. I have to look sometimes because they change the screen every so often. But anyway, Blog Talk Mom, you did an awesome job tonight, and your little dog was adding a nice little entertainment there in the background saying, "Pet me, Mommy, love me. And so we feel kind of sorry for him having to give up his mom time with you being gone early in the mornings with the school. He's probably not used to not having so much time away from you. And I want to thank Sharla for all the things she does to help with the show. And you listeners, this show is for not just you, but you can share the links to this show with any of your friends or neighbors. All you have to do is go to the Blog Talk Radio show page. All of our shows are there in the archives. You can download it to your smart device for free, or you can just copy the link, post it on Facebook, or send it an email or whatever. And all this is free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything. So, all right, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We'll be here next week with chapter 18 of the Woolly Worm. God bless each and every one of you. Good night.